Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. And before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions or comments, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, November 2nd. On this day in 1777, Captain John Paul Jones sets out on his first mission with a crew of 140 men on the USS Ranger from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, on his way to Europe to begin raids on British warships. His trip was the first expedition of its kind during the American Revolutionary War, in which Jones later earned immortality in a subsequent fight against the British warship Serapis, during which his ship, the USS Bonhomme Richard, was heavily damaged, but he refused to surrender, yelling, "I have not yet begun to fight." In 1947, Howard Hughes realizes his dream as the Hughes Flying Boat, also called the Spruce Goose, as it was built entirely of wood, takes flight for its first and only airborne trip. The Spruce Goose was the largest aircraft ever built, and many thought it was so huge it could never get off the ground. Fly it did, but only briefly before it returned to Earth and into the history books. And in 1986, Norwegian long-distance runner Grete Waitz wins her 8th New York City Marathon, following victories beginning in 1978 when she set a world record for women in the race. 2 years later, Waitz did it again, winning an unprecedented 9th marathon, a remarkable feat for someone who had never considered doing marathons. Her preferred distances were the 400, 800, 1500, and 3,000-meter races. Waitz set 10 world records before retiring in 1990 to become a health and fitness expert in Oslo, Norway. Chester County outside Philadelphia is one of the three original counties in Pennsylvania. The colony intended to establish greater religious freedoms for William Penn and his Quaker followers back in 1682. The area has been the site of many important events, including the Battle of the Brandywine in September 1777. Many famous people have lived or spent time here, including Buffalo Bill Cody, three signers of the Declaration of Independence, composer Samuel Barber, and folk singer-songwriter Jim Croce. The Chester County Historical Society is dedicated to preserving the rich heritage of Chester County. The Society has exhibits which explore over 300 years of history through rare documents, photographs, and newspapers in their research library, 7 galleries filled with engaging exhibitions, and special school and public programs year-round. From George Washington to the Underground Railroad, the Civil War, and the Civil Rights Movement, their galleries will please people of all ages. Elizabeth Laurent is the new president of the Society, based here in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and she's with us today to speak to us about the Chester County Historical Society. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Gene.
How long have you been president there at the CCHS?
I started at the Society in late July and have been enjoying learning about the Society and this community in those intervening months.
Well, that is great. I've spent time with your previous president, Rob Lukens, and for our listeners who don't know, Rob Lukens passed away last year. Wonderful, wonderful man. And I was a guest on his show several times. My show is actually dedicated in his memory, and we're so glad to have the new president on to continue that legacy. What is your personal background, Elizabeth?
Oh, thank you for asking. I am a native of Virginia. I guess I've loved history all my life. I studied history and art history at college. Most important about my profession, I think, is that I went to the master's degree program run at the Winter Tour Museum here in the Brandywine Valley that taught me an awful lot about early American objects and how to interpret them. That's really what trained me to do what I do. So since graduate school, I've been very fortunate working first at Virginia, in Virginia at Stratford Hall Plantation, a Lee family property on 1,600 acres in Westmoreland County. When I moved to Philadelphia, I worked at Cliveden, a National Trust property in the Germantown neighborhood of Philadelphia, most famous as the 1777 scene of the Battle of Germantown. And before coming to the Society, I worked at Girard College in Philadelphia, an incredible story of early American education. It is a residential school for children in need in grades 1 through 12. Remarkable history there, spanning the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries, great civil rights stories, 20th century civil rights stories at Girard College.
Excellent. Well, you've got a wide range of experience in historical properties. You know, I have never been to Cliveden. Is it a pretty interesting place to see?
It's a wonderful place. It's a big Pennsylvania stone house, and I mean a big one, with a magnificent notable entrance hall that's kind of the shape of an upside-down T. And so you walk in on the broad part, and you see the stair hall in the distance. What's most amazing about Cliveden is that it was a home to multiple generations of the Chew family, C-H-E-W, and when they transferred the house to the National Trust in the early 1970s, they transferred the house with all of its contents of their family's furnishings. So it's a wonderful document of life over 200 years in one house.
That is excellent. I'll have to go out there to get a visit there. You know, obviously the Historical Society has a mission. What is your personal mission there at the Society, and what do you bring to the Society, and what do you hope to accomplish?
My personal mission at the Society is to help people of all ages and backgrounds become excited by the role of history in their lives. I think we're pretty good at the Society at telling stories about things that happened, and I think we're particularly good at helping folks see how those stories of the past relate and resonate with things that are going on today. For instance, we're in this high political season, a season I'm sure we all will be glad when it is over next week, that the high drama of politics, that's nothing new. We have wonderful examples in American history of political seasons that were just as exciting and just as frenzied as this one we're seeing now. So while this is something we all need to be paying attention to this year, it puts us in the context of many election years that precede us.
And I, as a historian, I know that the election of 1800 was particularly virulent between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. I have read that the broad bills and the slogans and the campaign memorabilia, if you will, was kind of nasty back then. And we think of it today as being extremely nasty, but I think there is some precedent.
Absolutely, there's precedent. And, of course, that's an election famous for having been tossed into the House of Representatives for the House to choose the winning candidate. So let's hope it doesn't come to that next week.
That's a good point. You know, there's many, many exhibits there at the Chester County Historical Society, but there's an especially interesting one opening on November 5th, and that exhibit is of monumental oil paintings by Downingtown artist Adrian Martinez called The Visionary World of Humphrey Marshall, 1750 to 1800. The exhibit features the paintings linked with related to significant artifacts from the collection. Tell us a little bit about this exciting new exhibit.
We are so pleased to be opening the exhibit this Friday night. It will open to the public on Saturday. There are two galleries associated with the exhibit. The gallery that features Adrian's artwork, there are 12 monumental, and you might well ask how big that is. That is 4 feet by 5.5 foot canvases, oil paintings on canvas, and they are depicting Adrian's thinking about important people and important moments in Chester County history. They're not necessarily historic documents. For instance, there's a portrait of Deborah Logan from Philadelphia's historic house, Stenton. We don't know what Deborah Logan looked like, so Adrian is using his skill and vision to imagine her appearance. What's particularly interesting about this exhibit is that it links these modern 21st century paintings recently completed by Adrian with many related historic objects in the Society's collection, which will be displayed in front of the paintings. Mm-hmm. So it's a conversation, as it were, between the 18th and the 21st centuries, and we think that's a very exciting step forward for the Society.
And what is the link with Humphrey Marshall?
Well, Humphrey Marshall, who you may know, there is no surviving image of Marshall. He lives, of course, before the advent of photography, and there are no prints or paintings of him. Humphrey Marshall is, of course, a notable horticulturalist here in Chester County. The town of Marshallton is named after him. There are papers that survive about Humphrey Marshall, and so this exhibit is featuring a Martinez portrait of Marshall. It's the first time that it's the first time that Marshall's face has ever been shown. Mm-hmm. And it is Martinez's imagination of what Marshall must have looked like. Mm. So when you Google images of Humphrey Marshall after our exhibit opens, you're going to be seeing images of the Martinez face. So in a very real way, Adrian is giving us the face of Humphrey Marshall.
Mm. So no one else has actually tried to paint what he looked like. This is a first?
This is a first.
Very, very interesting. I know the Marshall house or estate is still there in Marshallton. There's a little plaque there.
That's right.
And I've driven by it. If any of our listeners have driven into Marshallton, you know, they have the Marshallton Inn and the Four Dogs Tavern. You pass by the Marshall estate as you're going into town.
And that face of Humphrey Marshall, you'll know when our exhibit is open because a larger-than-life-size face of the Humphrey Marshall painting, a larger-than-life banner, will be on the front of the Society, along with the traditional banners that go on the lampposts in front of our building. So when the banners are up, you'll know the exhibit is ready to be seen.
Excellent. We are going to take a brief break for a commercial, but stay with us. We'll be back with Elizabeth Laurent, the president of the Chester County Historical Society.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call and they'll handle the rest. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SurrockCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini services Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer. 610-873-1696.
What is everyone talking about in Chester County? Find out on the News at Noon here on 1520 WCHE.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today, we're speaking with Elizabeth Laurent, the president of the Chester County Historical Society here in Westchester, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. Elizabeth, you just described a fascinating new exhibit there, The Visionary World of Humphrey Marshall. That opens, you said, to the public this Saturday, is that right?
This Saturday morning, November 5th.
Excellent, and hopefully we'll get a lot of visitors there. Tell us about some of the other exhibits and some of your other favorites there at the Historical Society. I've been there a few times, but I'm sure you know the exhibits a bit better than I do.
Yeah, I'd like to highlight very quickly three exhibits. We have a wonderful exhibit up now of Chester County quilts. There's a wonderful tradition of needlework and quilting here in the county, so I encourage folks to come see that. We have a treasured object in the museum right now, given to us by a Chinese delegation who came to a meeting at the Society on October 19th. It is an embroidery of a lotus blossom and leaves given as an official token of appreciation and esteem. So we joke about the Chester County Historical Society having certainly regional and national significance, but with that embroidery, we are claiming international significance. So that's very exciting. And then the third thing I just want to mention is the Martinez exhibit also features a wonderful educational gallery with historic microscopes and modern microscopes. The Society owns Humphrey Marshall's microscope, so the whole thrust of those educational programs, which will be great for visitors of all ages, is that whole science of how you take a close look at natural history and natural specimens. We think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, for our listeners who are not botanists, Humphrey Marshall was perhaps the most famous botanist in the early Republic. I believe he knew Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and other of the founding fathers, so he's quite well known in the colonies. What are some of the current projects underway at the Historical Society? Any new displays planned? Any new extensions, expansions? Anything that's coming up in the next 6 months to a year?
Well, in the next 6 months to the year, we hope to be finishing the design work for the Society's new permanent exhibits. Tremendously exciting project, which is going to transform our permanent exhibit galleries, which is a different space from our changing exhibit galleries, to tell the full story of Chester County in a timeline format so that it's easy for visitors to sort of proceed through, with a lot of technology layered in with the remarkable artifacts and the remarkable stories of Chester County.
Fascinating. I was there a while back, and you had the exhibit on the 1960s, which was really a lot of fun to walk through. Is that still up?
That came down to make way for the Martinez exhibit.
Oh, there you go.
We've only got so much square footage.
That was really enjoyable. I walked through the entire thing and took notes of several of the interesting objects you had there. You know, you have a research library there. I've actually personally done research for some of my books there. Tell us just a little bit about your research facilities.
The research library at the Chester County Historical Society is an incredible repository about people and places and stories of the county. The sheer numbers that we manage in that museum collection are incredible. Our museum collection itself has about 80,000 artifacts, but our library collection has over 750,000 historical documents and volumes, plus over 80,000 historic photographs. You may also know that the Society also manages operations out at the Chester County Archives. We have a management agreement with the county to take care of those important county documents. I would say that the Society's library is the go-to place for people who want to learn about, say, an old house in Chester County, about family genealogy in Chester County, about the important people or stories of the county. I think we are the place where people start.
I think it's just a great place. Again, the time that I've spent there doing research was quite valuable. I've written several books and give eight different historical lecture series. I often get people coming up to me and say, you know, where can I go to do some local research or even genealogy type investigations? I always say, well, the first place to start is the Chester County Historical Society. It's a great place. You've got some wonderful manuscripts and books from period books, first editions from well over two centuries ago. Chicago is really just a wonderful resource. I know you have a series called History on Tap, and you have very different guests, guest speakers. Tell us a little bit about History on Tap.
All right, History on Tap is a fun event designed for folks who are not sure that they want to listen to a sort of formal academic-style history lecture. So we partner with various very kind restaurants and bistros around the county and have speakers speak informally about a particular topic. So, for instance, earlier this fall, we had Bruce Maudet speaking about the Johnston Brothers gang from the 20th century crime family. Mm-hmm. More recently, here in town at the Hotel Warner, we had Laura Hemer from the Wharton Eschrick House speak with folks about that remarkable site north of us here in Chester County. Mm-hmm. And our upcoming speaker on December 6th will be Malvern Prep Professor Tom McGuire, who will be speaking at the Ship Inn, the Ship Restaurant?
In Exton.
Mm-hmm. On December 6th. And we've got details about his topic, of course, on the website. It's a wonderful informal way for people to enjoy history and get some food or drink while they are listening to the speaker.
I concur. Bruce Maudy is a good friend of mine. In fact, he's often my guest host and will be in the next few weeks when I can't be here. But he's also a well-known local author, and he worked for the local newspaper for many, many years. Tom McGuire is probably the best-known local historian of the Revolution, and he has written a few books, including The Philadelphia Campaign and others, which describe the Revolutionary War activities of the Continental Army and the interactions with the British. Very well-respected historian. I know you mentioned you've got some plans for some different changes there. Many people are just not that well versed in not only U.S. history, but sometimes even their own local history. And what do you feel is the most important way that the Historical Society helps spread the word about our heritage?
I think we do two things very well. I think the Society helps people discover, if they don't know it already, that history is not dull and boring. History is not books that nobody wants to open. History is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. When history is done the right way, we can enjoy while we're learning. Look at this incredible success of Hamilton as a musical. It's giving us history in ways that we are truly enjoying. I think the Society, while not having the Broadway success of Hamilton, does help people discover that enjoyment in history. The second thing I think we do very well for people of all ages is to help folks realize that we all have history. History doesn't belong just to the families of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. It doesn't belong only to families of governors of Pennsylvania and important people who have government affairs, who manage government affairs. We all have our family histories. Our communities all have their own histories. That commonality, I think, is a very strong part of what we can do at the Society. It ties our community together to know that history better.
It's the story of us all, and I try to impart that in my many lectures, including my latest, which is as Colonel Alexander Hamilton. I actually portray him in full Continental Army officer's uniform. I've recently given it to several local venues, including the Tredyffrin Historic Preservation Trust, Kennett Square Library, and other venues, which have just raved about it. They seem to love Hamilton. So Hamilton is hot right now, and I probably will be part of the 240th celebration of the Battle of the Brandywine next year in 2017, as Hamilton himself, who, as you probably know, was at the Battle of the Brandywine. One thing about the Historical Society I want to stress is that history comes alive when you view their exhibits. You actually go up close and personal with their artifacts, and in fact even go into their research library. History is not dull, as you mentioned. It's very much alive. It's not boring. A lot of kids seem to think that history is names, dates, and battles. It's far more than that. And I'm so glad to have you on the show, because there's so many things about our local history that are just quite fascinating. Philadelphia is so rich, and its surrounding area is so rich in history with famous people, of course, famous battles. We're not that far from Gettysburg, the most important battle of the Civil War. So rich in our heritage. What is, in your personal background, was there any particular period that you kind of felt close to or more fascinated by in terms of American history? Is there anything that you found the most interesting in your studies?
Oh, thank you for asking, Gene. I used to be most interested in the 18th century, sort of the purity and the beauty of 18th century things. And as the years have gone by, I find myself increasingly drawn to the 19th and 20th centuries. I'm particularly interested in, I am no battle expert, but I'm particularly interested in the Civil War, not so much from a military point of view, but from the ways that the stories and causes embedded in the Civil War are not over.
Mm-hmm.
The stories of America, we are still struggling with many of the issues that relate to the Civil War. Girard College, for instance, as well as Westchester, with these terrific 20th century civil rights stories, to me, it is those stories and those struggles are directly linked to what's going on in America in the 1860s. I think race is the great American story, and the Civil War in many ways pulls a lot of that together.
You know, I know that the Historical Society does have a pretty good Civil War collection. Is there anything that you've personally seen that you find kind of interesting? I mean, I know that I think there was an exhibit in the last couple of years about the Civil War. Is there any comments you want to make about the things that you actually have there related to the Civil War era at the Society?
Well, I think some of the documents that we have in the library pinpoint the complexity of what's going on in Chester County during the Civil War. We all learn in fourth grade history that it's the North versus the South, and that everybody who is above the Mason-Dixon line is fighting for the North. The truth of it, of course, is much more complicated than that. And Chester County, like so many borderline counties in America, have families that are truly split on this issue, mm-hmm. and have folks fighting on both sides.
I know that's true, and living in Kennett Square, which was a hub for the Underground Railroad, I'm particularly attuned to that. I've actually stopped at several what they call station stops on the Underground Railroad. These are old houses, 150, 200 years old, that were in existence at the time of the Civil War when slaves were escaping from the South through the conduit of the southeastern Pennsylvania area, and our listeners know that Kennett Square in Chester County, they border Maryland, which was the Mason-Dixon line right there. The Historical Society website is chestercohistorical.org. Let our listeners know what they can expect to find when they go to the website.
Oh, you'll find all kinds of wonderful things. It's got a lot of information on it. Most important, I think, would be the information about visiting hours and services. You would also find information about upcoming events. There is quite a dense area of historical essays written for folks who want to take a look at specific topics. Many of those are linked right there on the site. It also has a lot of images, featuring images of some of the magnificent items in the museum collection and some of the great documents.
Yeah, I know that the Historical Society has just some outstanding not only exhibits, but your resources there in the research library are just wonderful. So if any of our listeners are interested in doing a little bit of their own research, it is a great place to visit. And now your visiting hours, did you say Tuesday through Saturday, is that correct?
Yes, Tuesday through Saturday from 9:30 to 4:30.
Yeah, and is there any best time to visit? I mean, is there any kind of overcrowded or less crowded time, any good time during those days?
I would think that folks, especially for library work, folks who want a less crowded place might want to come during the weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's slightly unpredictable,
mm-hmm.
But our staff is able and willing to help however many people happen to be in there.
And they are a great team, by the way. I've been helped many times by the people in the research library. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today. You were wonderful on the show. Be sure to tune in next week, Wednesday, November 9th, when we'll be speaking with Lila Gaylor and Carol Apicella about the Unionville Art Alliance. Thank you all for tuning in today to Living History. Okay.